If you're visiting, we really appreciate that. If you're a member, we really appreciate you being here. And if you're an enemy, we're glad you're here too. Don't have any enemies. Got people I don't want to stay around a long time, but don't have any enemies, you know. But today we're going to look at a lesson that's a little different. It's really looking at four commands that are going to help us to live in this life. In 1 Peter, Peter was talking to people, trying to help them to understand how to live in the world as Christians. Because, see, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to live in a world that is opposite from Christianity, and the ways are getting a little bit farther from Christianity, it seems like, in our times today. But that's just normal. It's going to always do that. People are going to gravitate toward wrong, not toward right. And what we have to do is to live in such a way that we can help people to see that Christianity is a better way to go than living in the world. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. Is it easy to live the Christian life? It is easy to be a child of God in the world that really is encouraging you to live another way. And also, not only just the world, but also this fleshly body we've got and how much it wants to live like the world. We want to hate people that hate us. We want to mistreat people that mistreat us. We want to do all those things. Well, Peter here is trying to say, I want you to know how to live in the world. I want you to understand that. And really, he's talking about something in 1 Peter here that is very important, because he's talking here about how to conduct yourself when you're a part of the government. Now, we live in a time where we may disagree with our president. We may disagree with what's going on in politics. We may do that. We're fortunate that we can say something about that. But be careful we don't say too much. Be careful that we don't go too far. Don't use, as it talks in the latter part here, our freedom as something that we can abuse. Don't do that. But he's saying we need to be people that live right. And he explains a part of what he's trying to talk about here. In 1 Peter, he wants us to see this. He said, listen, there's some things that the government is there to do. And one of those things that the government's there to do is to take vengeance on evildoers. The Roman writer says that the government does not bear the sword in vain. That means that they have the power to punish those who break the law or go against the law of man. Now, sometimes the law of man, the law of God are the same thing. Sometimes they're not. But we're to be willing to obey the laws that the government gives. And he said, they bear that sword so that they can punish the evildoers. And not only that, so that they can praise, the government is there to praise those people that are good, that are trying to live right, that are trying to do things that God wants them to do. And so here they need to be praised for that. They need to be praised for what they're doing. And that's a part of the work of the government. And then he goes on to say, And we need to be people who we want to be obedient to the government as much as we can. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. We have to obey the laws of the land unless those laws of the land go contrary to God's law. We understand that. But we've got to obey the laws of the land. Now we might think, wait a minute, some of those laws are not the best things in the world. Well, unless they contradict with God's law, we need to be obedient to those. We need to be following those. And so here it says we need to put to silence those people. At that time, they were saying that Christians are totally opposed to the government. Does it sound strange to you to hear something like that? I hear that almost every day on the news that, oh, this religious right. I'm glad we're on the right. I'm glad we're in the right. I'd hate to be the left, you know, wouldn't you? But the right. And so it's great that we can be a part of that. But you see, some people today look at religious people as though we're against the government, we're fighting against the government, and we don't want to do what they want to. We're not doing that. If you are, quit. We're to be those people that we help the government to be as good as it can be. And so we have the power to do that. If people that are Christians and that confess to be Christians would stand up for the Christian principles, we wouldn't have a lot of problems. Our problems are we don't stand together, and we need to. And we need to stand for what's right and what's good. But here, part of this was to help people to silence that. Look at verse 15 and 16, if you would, as he talks about that. He says, for this is the will of God, that, the purpose, that by doing good, you may put to shame the ignorance of foolish men that would think that Christianity is against the government. We're not. We're not against that. But we're gonna be those people that are going to do what's right and live what's right because we're God's people. We're going to live that way. We're going to do that. And then fourthly, we do this to show to people what Christianity is really all about, to show the good influence. And that's what we need to be. We need to be people that walk and talk in this world and we conduct ourselves in the right way. I don't know about you, but I've heard over the years people say, well, I'd go to church, but you know, there's hypocrites down there. Well, yeah, there are. There are people here today that you're not going to serve God this week. You know that. And you know it already. I don't know. Some people come because their wife tells them they have to. Some people come because their parents tell them they have to. Some people feel an obligation to do that because of the ancestry that they're a part of. But there's various reasons. But hopefully everybody's here today. And this is what I hope and pray, that everybody's here today to draw closer to God. That's what the worship service is supposed to do, to help us to be drawn closer to God so that we can serve God in a greater way. And so here, what we're trying to do is to show by this that we're going to be willing to follow the law of God, and we're going to be willing to do that. Now, the four commands that I want us to see today that we need to be willing to follow. First of all, there are four. They're very simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard. The first one is that we need to be people that we honor all men. We show respect to other people. Now, when I say that, some people say, there's some people that just don't deserve respect. Yes, you're right. But what about you? You're an honorable person. You need to show honor to all men. You need to show respect to all men. You say, wait a minute, they did wrong. Okay. That's them. I got to do what's right. You see, sometimes we can try to do right, but do wrong if we're not careful. We need to honor all men. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth, now this is the King James, that bringeth, ETH means they continually do that. This is the grace of God that is continually given to us. That salvation that hath appeared to all men, God continually gives that to all men. His grace, His mercy. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That means that we've got to be willing to talk right, to live right, and to do right. It's not that we are Christians and we're going to oppose anything anybody wants to do, but we're going to oppose things that are wrong. We're going to be for those things that are right, and we're going to try to help those things and do those things. You see, we as Christians need to show to the world. Christianity, at that time, they were trying to put them, just as the devil is today, Christians on one side and the government on the other side. And that there's a great gulf fixed between them. Let me tell you something. There is no gulf. We are a part of the government. And I'm not ashamed of that. We have the power to change things. We have the power to deal with things. But we need to be willing to show honor to all men, even those that are part of the government. And we need to conduct ourselves in the right way. Now, look at this. In Acts 10, verse 34, here Peter is talking to Cornelius, or talking to the people that are there with him. Peter brought some people that were Jews over there, Cornelius being a Gentile, and he's about to hear the gospel, and he's about to have the Holy Spirit on him. He's about to be told to repent and to be baptized. In fact, he's commanded to do that. And there are those Jews that are there. Listen to what Peter says about this. God is not no respecter of person. He's no respecter of person. But in every nation, those people that fear Him and worketh continually keep on working righteousness is accepted with God. He's saying, now you're looking here, Jews, and you're seeing a Gentile over here. Can he ever do anything right? Nope, can't do it. No way. Can't do that. Peter said, listen, I understand now what God's trying to say. The light bulbs come on and he hears it. What is that? God respects people that are willing to be those people that are willing to listen to His will and follow His will. Those people that are willing to fear Him and continue work righteousness. Those are the ones that are accepted by God. And let me tell you something, it's still that way today. It hadn't changed at all. People who fear God and do what is right and continually do that, God is going to bless them. God is going to save them. I don't care who they are. They're going to do what's right. That's the way it always has been. That's the way it was under the Mosaical, the patriarchal, the Mosaical, and even the Christian age. That's the way it is there at that time. But I want to show you something else. I'm going to give you another reason why we need to honor people. We need to honor people because Jesus Christ did. Now, in Matthew 22 and verse 39, listen to what Jesus said. He had already just talked. They had asked him the question, what's the greatest commandment? They were trying to trick him, and he said, this is the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He's saying you love God with everything you have. Well, he answered the question, but he went a little bit further. You know, sometimes when you're giving an answer to a question, I always tell parents, when children ask a question, answer the question. Don't answer more than the question. Just answer the question and leave it at that. If they want to know more, they'll ask more. You got to be careful about that. You heard about the little boy that, I think I've told this here before, but the little boy went in and asked his mother, said, where am I from? Where am I from? How did I get here? And she said, I don't know, go ask your daddy. And the daddy said, I don't know, go ask your mama. And you know, it's that thing where you send them back and forth a lot. And finally, the little boy said, I just want to know what town I came from. Was it New York? Was it Cincinnati? Or where was it? And you see, understand the question, answer that question, and don't answer a lot more. Now, Jesus said, I want to give you the second one. What's the second one? He said, it's a very simple thing. The second one is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor as you love your own self. Now, that's how Jesus looked at it. Is that what we do? You say, well, you don't know, I've had problems with my neighbor. Yes, but do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? That's what Christians are supposed to do. And I'm telling you, we could eliminate a lot of problems if we were willing to do that. But not only did Jesus do that, not only were we told to do that, but I want you to see how God, turn to Matthew 5, verse 44. It's so simple, it's just pitiful. But it's so true. Listen to this. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, before, people had said, you love your friends and you hate your enemies, and that's okay. That's the way we need to live. Jesus said that's not the way we're supposed to live. What you're to do is you're to love those people that are your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That, this is the reason we're to endure those things. This is the reason that we're to be people, that we live in such a way as we're going to live like this, that you may be the children of your Father. He said, do those things because you are children of God, and you show that when you live like that. Now, suppose I hate those that hate me. Suppose I persecute those who persecute me. Suppose I do things bad to them because they do things bad to me. Well, I'm of my Father. Anybody know who He is? Okay. Whew. Let me get down and pray for y'all, man. Y'all need it, I'm telling you. It's the devil. Whoopee! It's the devil. And you see, we act like that. That's not the way we're supposed to act. We're supposed to act like God's people. We're supposed to treat people that way. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Act like your heavenly Father. Do like He wants you to do. For He maketh. He continually gives the sun to rise and to fall on the good and on the not good. On those that are right and those that are wrong. He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them who love you, what reward do you have? And He goes on to help people to understand, listen, if you just love those that love you, what's the difference between you and the world? If you love people because they love you, anybody does that. That's just fleshly. But what if you love people that don't love you? What if you do right? And this is what God's trying to get us to do. By people that they don't treat you right. Has anybody ever treated you wrong? How do you feel about them? It can show you whether your Christianity is effective or not as to how you feel about those people. I'm just waiting for the opportunity that I can catch them and I can get them, that I can deal with them like that. He said, that's not it. He said, look at your Heavenly Father, what He does. He gives His grace to everybody. Whether they'll accept it or not, that's another thing. He gives His sunshine to everybody, the good and the bad. He gives His rain to everybody, the good and the bad. He gives it to everybody. That's God. That's how God feels about this. If you salute your brothers only, what do you do more than others do? What do you do? Do not even the publicans that. Don't the publicans, don't the sinners even do that. You be therefore perfect. You be a mature person in God, one that knows who your master is, who you're going to serve. You be that kind of mature person, and you be one like that Father in heaven is perfect. You be that kind of person, and you be that way. All right, now, second command. We need to love our brethren. Now, Mark talked about this in Bible class this morning. If you've been missing these things on Jesus, you've been missing a lot. You need to come and hear that. It's a great class, doing a great job, looking at the life of Jesus. We need to learn to love our brethren. Brethren, if there's anything that shows to the world our lack of Christianity, it's our disunity. Amen. I'll throw that one in. It's our disunity. You go down the road and you see Church of Christ on this side. You go down the road a little farther, Church of Christ on that side. And they don't talk to each other either. Brethren, that's wrong. There's no way around that. It shouldn't be. We need to learn to love and care for other people. You know, Peter, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 7, gives some Christian graces that we're to have in our life. One of those things was Philadelphia in the Greek, brotherly love. You've got to have that. Let me tell you something. Watch your mouth. Don't talk bad about your brethren. I've seen people, elders, preachers, and just anybody, say, well, you know this congregation, they don't do this, and they don't do that, and they don't do this, and they don't do that. Well, let me tell you something. Don't be talking about those people. You got something to say to them, you go down there and talk to them about it. Amen. That's a good one. Go talk to them about it. Don't talk to everybody else about it because you're making things look bad. And two, you may be just as wrong because you've heard gossip from what other people have had to say and you don't know what you're talking about and all you're doing is spreading gossip. And you don't need to do that. Learn to love your brethren. Learn to care for them. Listen to what Romans 12, verses 9 through 18 says. Now, I'm going to read this out of the New Century Version because in reading it, I really like what it had to say. You read it in yours. Whosoever has the gift of encouraging others should encourage. If you've got a gift of encouragement, you encourage other people. Whoso has the gift of giving to others should give freely. Anyone who has the gift of being a leader should try hard when he leads. Be a leader, be a leader. Whosoever has the gift of showing mercy to others should do so with joy. Be happy about it. Verse 9, your love must be real. Hate what is evil and hold to what is good. Love each other like brothers and sisters. Now listen to this. Give each other more honor than you give yourself or that you want for yourself. You give them more honor. Share with God's people what you have. Bring strangers in that are in need into your home. Wish good for those who harm you. Wish them well and do not curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and be sad with those who are sad. Live in peace. Live in peace with each other. Do not be proud, but make friends with those who seem unimportant. Now that's an important thing to do. Do not think of yourself smarter than you are. Woo! Do I need that one? Go ahead. Say amen. Okay. I got one. Don't think too much of yourself. Don't think you're so smart. Do not pay him back. Do not pay the wrong back to people that have wronged you. Try to do whatever it you think is right. Do your best to live in peace with everyone. Now let me tell you something. What if we did that? What if we lived like that? What if we conducted ourselves that way? Would it change the idea of the church? Would it change how other people look at us? Would it be different than the world? I'm telling you, it would be a lot different than the world. All right, third thing. Got to get through on time. We need to be those people that we fear God. Now, some people don't like this. They say God's love and God's great and God's all that. And God is love, God is great and all that. But let me tell you something. We need to have a respect for God that borders on fear. Nothing wrong with that. Now, listen to this. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, Solomon has tried everything in the world. He's had women, hundreds of wives, hundreds of concubines, all this money, all this thing. He could do whatever he wanted to do. But he comes up in Ecclesiastes and listens to what he said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let me tell you what it is in a life that's really important, he said. This is what you need to do. You need to fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man. This is everything of man. This is all his duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing's going to be brought into judgment. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it'll all be brought there into judgment. We're going to have to give an account for it. You say, oh, that scares me. Hope so. And maybe it'll cause you to do what's right, but maybe you'll go to the point in your Christianity where your faith will kick in and you'll do it not because of fear, but because of love that you have for God and the care you have for God. You're going to be willing to do that. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not that person that can kill the body, but you fear that person who can kill the soul, that can take the soul and put the soul in a place of punishment. You fear that person. That's the one we need to fear. Oh, anybody can kill a body. They do that all the time. But listen, what about the soul? That's the one we need to recognize that's important. That's what Jesus was trying to say here. Understand that. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom or understanding or the right way to go. Is what the wise man Solomon is saying there. You need that in your life. But God despises the wisdom and the instruction of a fool. There is no wisdom in a fool. There may be snippets here and there, but if he had wisdom, he would be one that was willing to follow God and do God's will. All right, now, I may even get through on time. Linda may not have to hit her watch but five times today. Number four, we need to honor the king. We live in a time where we disagree with a president, when we disagree with our congressman, when we disagree with people that are in authority. And we have the right to do that in this country. But in this passage of 1 Peter, it said, don't take your freedom and use it really for sin. Don't take a freedom you have and use it in the wrong way. Let's be respectful and honor to those people. In Daniel 4 and verse 17, it said God rules in the ideas, in the hearts of people. God is ruling in the world today. God places governments in authority. You say some of those governments are evil. Go read that book. And you'll find that God sometimes put an evil king over his people because they were not living right. Now, we talk about what these people are doing in the government, how they're not doing right and they're not living right. Do you think that maybe God put them there because we're not doing right? Don't just look at them. Look at yourself. Look at the world we live in. Maybe they're there to help us to see what we need to do. Maybe they're there to build our faith and make us stronger. Maybe that's the purpose of them being there. Jesus was talking to Pilate, or Pilate was talking to Jesus, I might say. at his trial in Matthew 4. He was talking to Jesus there, or John 19, not Matthew 4. But he was talking to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, listen, you don't understand. I have power of life or death over you. I can say a word and you're going to die. I can say a word and you're going to live. I can dismiss this case and tell those Jews to go back home and suffer. Or I can tell them to put you on a cross. Listen to what Jesus said in John 19 verse 11. You would have no power at all. No power at all against me except it were given to you from above. You don't have any power except the power that God gives you. God can take a government out anytime He wants it out. He can take an individual out anytime He wants that individual out. In fact, He can take a world out anytime He wants the world out. He has that power. He has that strength. He can do that. That's God. That's who He is. So He places those governments in authority. You say, are you saying He put like Hitler in? Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was evil. Yeah. Maybe He put him there to help us to see, or the people at that time, to see how we need to live, how we need to conduct ourselves. If there is a difference between God's law and man's law, we need to obey God's law. We've got to do that. We've already mentioned that before. We've got to be willing to follow that. We've got to follow God's will no matter what. But we need to be people that we live in this world and we conduct ourselves in this world. We need to live right and according to God's principles. A part of the problem with people accepting Christianity today is because of nutty people who act that are supposed to be Christians but don't act like they are. They say things that are off the wall. They say things that are totally wrong. They gossip. They hurt. And they show people a Christianity that's not right. It's the Christianity that the devil wants people to see. But if we live according to God, if we live according to His principles. Now look at this. Remember this passage, if you would. Verse 17 and what it has to say. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now you live in a world today, and you want to know how to live in this world. You want to know how to conduct yourself in this world. There's four little things. That's all you got to do. That's four things is all we got to do. And follow those things. And show people what Christianity is all about. Show them a real live believer. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for people that are Christians. That are living it every day. They're not looking for some preacher to walk around with a Bible in his hand. They're looking for a person that walks, talks, and lives this Christianity before them. In the home, at work, in the world, and even at church. We need to live right. You know how to do it. You say, whoa, those four commands are pretty big. Yeah, they are. But let me tell you something. The Lord said what you need to do is you need to try. Are you trying to live according to those things? Are you trying to live according to the standard that God set up? We may not ever complete it. In fact, I'll tell you right now, you won't complete it. Because you're going to be living this life and struggling against sin. I don't care how old you are. But you just keep struggling. You just keep struggling. Because at the end, there is a reward for everybody who continues in the race. I love Special Olympics, don't you? To see those kids and they're all running, they're all doing their thing, every one of them gets a medal. Nobody's left out. Kind of like T-ball and some of the other things, you know, everybody gets a medal. Let me tell you something, that's the way it is going to be in heaven. Everybody's going to get a reward. that continues in the race. But if you quit and you stop, you're not going to get a reward. But all you've got to do is keep going. And listen, I don't have to be as good as you. You don't have to be as good as me. We just have to be as good as we can be and keep on struggling. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I'm going to tell you something. You can have your sins washed and cleansed away. That's what, in Acts 2, those people there did. Thousands of people that day. They repented. They were baptized. And their sins were washed away. And the latter part of that verse, verse 47, God added them to the church, those that were being saved. How much did those people know? Not a whole lot. But they knew that they needed to follow God, and this was the way you start, and so they did it. If you're here today, I'm telling you, you can be a part of that. If you're here today as a child of God, and there's sin in your life, and don't sit there and think, oh, it's not that big a deal. Oh, yes, it is. Any day you stay away from God, you're going to continue that another day, and it'll be a little bit easier, and a little bit easier, and a little bit easier. Where you are right now in your sin is nothing compared to where you'll be tomorrow. You be willing to repent of that sin. You be willing to confess that sin. And I'm going to tell you something. God will cleanse that sin. He'll wash it away. He'll do that. But He's not going to do it if you won't repent. What's wrong with your heart? Can you bow the knee to God? One day, every knee will bow. Bow it today. When you can do that. And you can go to heaven. You have the right to do that. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.